Is it 7 o'clock yet?
And it's 7:02, okay.
Okay, call the meeting.
Will, Matt, do you have a copy of the agenda with you?
I do.
Awesome. Great, so we shall call the regular meeting of Bolton Conservation Commission to order, regular meeting for the month of April. And first on the agenda is, or second on the agenda, first is the call of meeting order, which is called the meeting at 7:02. Second item is the review of the minutes of our last meeting in March. And I have copies of the minutes. Do you have copies too, Matt?
I have a copy.
Okay. So I'm sorry, I can't pass a copy along through the screen to you, but.
It's okay. That's one of the things I like about doing it remotely is I can do it right here on the screen and got it right here.
Handy, hey, handy. We're not killing any trees. We're not even recycling.
Indeed.
Okay, I do have copies of minutes here in case you need it. Peter, any hard copy? Printed out 100% recycled paper.
Will we accept the minutes?
Okay, there's been a motion to accept the minutes. Is there a second?
I will second.
Okay, any questions or comments? Hearing none, all those in favor approving the minutes as submitted, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? All right, we have Alan Bicknell joining us. Hopefully you heard the motion as well. And you read the minutes, Alan?
Sort of.
He doesn't have to read the minutes.
Well, he made the motion. Well, okay.
Sufficiently.
We hope.
Yeah, all right. I did not hear the motion, so I probably shouldn't vote on it.
Okay. That's all fine. That's why I was asking. That's fine. So the motion is carried 3-0. Great. And now you're in attendance. Thank you, Alan, for being here.
Yep.
Next on the agenda is public comment. There's anybody?
I move that we not have that.
I don't see anybody from the public there. Okay. So move on to finance report. Okay.
Okay.
Peter, you're on.
Yeah, there's a couple of things we should note besides the fact that we've expended some money. First off, I made a treasurer's executive decision to, since we haven't bought the trade brochures yet, to put 100% of the Action Blueprint PO, which I needed to get, because if you buy something from the place that the town has done business with, you need a PO, even though it's less than $200. All right, I'll put up with that rule. But anyway, I took $100 out of the general supplies account for that, which means that our Freya brochures are short 10. And to handle that properly, I really should make a request to move $10 from somewhere to the general supplies account. And
can I have a question for you on that? So actually an update too, we have not yet printed the ordered the brochures to be printed.
Right.
We're still working on that.
Yes.
So, what was the amount we appropriated for that?
$60, and then we have a quote on that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of we don't have the little symbol on it that you want to put on yet. That's what I
mean. Right. We're waiting for the QR code to be linked to the town hall, and
yeah.
Brenda sent me an updated version of that, and corrected the Route 4 issue. That was corrected. So it's ready to go. We just need to set up a QR code.
Okay, so I would make the move that we ask for a transfer of $10 from the professional educational services account, which still has a $55 balance in it, to the general supplies, so that we have $60 there to pay for the brochures.
Okay, so there's been a motion, and is there a second to that?
I'll second it.
Okay, can you just repeat the motion for us? It's from the...
Yep. Peter Van Dyne moved to make a move that we ask for a transfer from the Professional and Educational Services account to the General Supplies account to pay for the Freya parts brochures.
Excellent. Okay, any more discussion on that? Hearing none, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion's carried. $10 will be transferred at your leisure.
Okay, the other thing I'd like to say about the financial report is that we obviously did not have enough money in the payroll account to pay for that for the rest of the year. And there are two ways of handling that. Since we really don't have any control over that, and we've told the town that every time we submit our budget with an increase that we think will cover it. And also, when I asked for a formal an accounting of what our budget was, I was not sent anything for the payroll account. So we could just leave it and see what happens when we all go over. Or we could, again, ask for a transfer, which would have to be out of, I don't think we should pay the clerk, no matter how good she does out of the activity. It would have to be out of other professional services if we made a transfer.
Yeah, all right, so I might just comment on that. This is a problem that happened last year, and we actually addressed it this year by requesting additional funding in that category, which I believe is approved so far by the Board of Selectmen.
We did the year before, and they approved it, went through, and then they raised
the clerk's fees again.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Again, or was it
two? Yeah, I think they raised them again, yeah.
Huh. So how much will we be short if we have...
I have no idea.
Okay.
I have not had time to make an analysis of our... We have an April meeting, a May meeting, a June meeting,
okay,
and
so we got
a special meeting.
We got a month or so to figure it out, right?
Yeah, but if this meeting is over before 9:02, then we have enough to pay for this meeting. We'll only have $5 left in the account.
Really?
Yeah.
And so we have
the
no
balance.
Money?
If you look at that, if you read the...
Yeah. Okay, so just to clarify, after this meeting, we have no funding for May and June clerk's fees.
Right.
That's quite a shortfall. You sure that's right, huh? Because we haven't had extra meetings. Huh. It's the same as last year.
July, August, September, October, November, December, January, February, and March.
Okay. All right. Well, let's make a motion so that we can at least fall back on that for the next month's meeting. I guess it would be...
I move we table the problem.
Table until next month?
Yeah.
Would that still allow the shortfall to take place? I don't think we really want
well,
to.
Well, if the tonight's meeting goes over 2 hours, we'll be short.
Yeah, we won't go over 2 hours. We're not... We can't.
Yeah.
9:01, we adjourn. Yeah. But, so... Normally we have a special meeting in May.
Right, exactly.
So we're going to be short that too. We're not going to be able to meet.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. So let's. Can you send a letter to the selectman's office and just let them know the shortfall? Would you like me to?
Yes.
Okay. I'll be glad to. All right. And just send me the amount that you anticipate.
It's on the balance in the account is on the financial report. $105.
Yeah. Could you just check your figures again? Because I don't... This doesn't make sense to me.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Not
eight,
now.
Nine.
Not now. Maybe before I write the letter. Okay. Just check your figures again, because I can't imagine it being any different than last
three,
year.
4. No, that's...
We never ran out last year until June.
So we have expended $1,000, and the account was $1,105, and we have $105 left.
See, I think the account was more than that. I think it was $1,205, or $1,250. I think your figures are off a bit.
We'll check that.
Okay.
Check that. That I will check.
Okay.
Get back to you.
Okay, great. And then we'll anticipate sending a letter to the selectmen to.
So even, you know, another $100, we still.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. All right. What else we got on here? So there's been, there's a lot of items on, I'll just start checking off the items on the agenda here. Let's start with 4.1 under finance report memberships.
They're not paid yet.
They're not paid yet. Okay, but that's going to come out of which account? The
dues and fees.
Dues and fees, okay. So what have we paid so far? We paid BLT, Bolton Land Trust, FBL. Those are the two.
Authorized and pending, we have the Frey of Repairs, the Bolton Land Trust, Action Blueprint.
No, we're talking about memberships only.
We paid Kakiwick under memberships.
Yep.
And we paid Winter Fair under dues and fees.
Yeah, that's, I'm talking about just, so it's really just FBL and BLT, those two we haven't paid yet.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, and then brochures, just to add to the expenditures, we're out of rural pool brochures now too. So Frey Park brochures and rural pool brochures, we can wait until next year to do the rural pool brochures. We can wait on that until we have our next rural pools day, but they went quick this year.
We got a lot of people.
And last, right, 2 years in a row of good attendance.
Mm-hmm.
And then the conference, the CLCC conference, you started the reimbursement, I saw that today.
Yep.
Thank you for that.
Earth Day t-shirts. And
t-shirts, the Earth Day t-shirts, by the way, here are the Earth Day t-shirts. You can see these Earth Day t-shirts, they're really nice. They kind of go with this guy. Anybody know him?
Lorax?
Yep. And also, it goes with Marge Winters, who will be talking about morticulture. And maybe they'll make the fairy houses with truffle trees. Is that called truffle trees?
Maybe you should call them Lorax houses this year.
The Lorax houses. So that's the t-shirts. We got those. You started the reimbursement process for that as well?
Yes.
Great. That was $157. Let me see what else. The North Central Conservation District order.
Yes, been
start the process on that.
Yes.
Okay,
that's been submitted.
I'll be working volunteering Monday and Friday at the district to deliver these plants and flowers and trees and shrubs to everybody that's ordered them, and I'll pick up the order too. If I don't have enough room, maybe you can bring your pickup truck.
Yep.
Okay. Great. All right, and then maps from Action Blueprint. So here are the maps from Action Blueprint. I eventually plan on folding these. These are really reasonably priced. So we can put this, eventually this will fit perfectly right on the table. So we have a Bolton Lakes watershed map, which is an overlay, the aerial photograph overlay on top of parcel boundaries. Then we have the natural diversity database overlay with topographics overlaid on top of a base.
What's that?
Parcel map. Yeah, this was included in the original. This was from Steve Lowry. They couldn't edit that out. They just wanted to make sure that it was from the Talon GIS department.
Okay.
This is the Bolton Land Trust map, which is pretty amazing. It actually has, it serves as an open space map right now. Let me just roll these back up.
I want to look in the town of Vernon, the map that has the clearest boundaries, which I think is the second one. This is good point, yeah. Okay. there is a parcel in here which is under development right now, and I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah, that's the one in.
Which is very, very important to the lakes. And I'm not sure that the parcel maps that I now have are updated for that.
Okay.
It looks like this might be one parcel that they thought is being developed. Okay, so that can be marked as a danger, which it definitely is. We already had stormwater problems coming up in there.
So the best part about having paper maps is we can mark them. So this is the actual Bolton Land Trust open space map. Can you see that?
Yeah.
Can you guys see that? No.
No.
Put it more towards the screen.
There, how's that?
Yeah, like that, yes.
Okay, so we got two copies of these. One is going to the Bolton Land Trust as well. They were nice enough to send this to us. So we will have this. This will be our tablecloth for the next few months. We'll use this on our table, so we'll have good access. And eventually we can add layers to this. Right, Peter?
Yeah.
Yep.
What I'm wondering about is I'd like to, you know, move the stuff from that onto my GIS, and there's no way that I can use a map that large.
Oh, no, this is just for...
Yeah, I need a smaller version to capture all that detail.
Yeah. Actually, just to have like 11 by 17 be nice to have small ones, that small. All right, so that's the maps from Action Blueprint. I picked them up today. Four of those were, one of those
was. Did you get an invoice?
I think they sent us one. Yes, it was sent to you like a month ago. Yep. Long time ago.
So, maybe. I'll have to check on that. I will.
Okay. So $25 a map. It's pretty reasonable.
Yeah, I might have sent it in when I got the PO.
Yep. Okay. And then the next item was expenditures of up to $150. You had encouraged us to make a motion to allow the chair to approve on his or her own. Any expenditures up to $150 before a meeting occurs, if
yes.
necessary.
Mm-hmm.
So would you like to make that motion this evening?
I will make that motion this evening. I think there's some written copies of that going around. I didn't bring mine. You have that motion?
It's in
from
the minutes.
From last
yeah.
month,
yeah.
right?
It's
yeah.
in the minutes from last month.
We
I can get the exact language on that from last month. Do you have the minutes? I think right there. Here we go.
Yeah, right here.
Yeah, okay.
So you want to just phrase that in the motion the proper way?
You want me to read it?
Yes, please.
Peter Van Dyne made a motion to the chairman of the Board of Bolton Conservation Commission. Chairman of the Bolton Conservation Commission may, with the concurrence of at least one other member or alternate, approve the expenditure of no more than $150 of commission funds without formal approval of the commission. Furthermore, such expenditures shall be subject to discussion at the next regular commission meeting.
Great. So that's the motion. Is there a second?
I will second.
Questions? Comments? Okay, I would just like to comment that this all is pending approval of our board. Eventually, the board approves this after this chair determines that it's warranted. Correct?
The if it's already been spent, like the maps, $100 for the maps, you and I discussed and we decided we'd go ahead with it before we had a motion to spend that money.
Right.
This is to cover situations like that formally.
Okay.
So you can't unspend something that you've spent.
True.
But if it was approved by and then not spent, then it could be disapproved.
Right. But if it's spent,
on the other hand,
foregone.
If the commission says you really shouldn't have done that, then you have to take that into account and say
then the chair has to pony up.
I wouldn't say that, but you know.
I know. I was just
kidding. The the board will have an opportunity to object to something which was done that way.
Right, right. Yep. Okay.
With no recourse, though.
Question? What?
No recourse, really. No.
No. So any more questions?
You, Rod.
Any more questions on that? Okay, hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Okay, great. Motion's carried. All right. I think that covers the finance report. I think we covered a lot.
Yes.
Peter, it was a very active month. Thank you very much for all your work. I think it's a byproduct of our business. You know, we got a lot of things to do, a lot of events to hold, and I think it's great that we're able to do that in a way that is financially sound. Any other comments or questions on your report? So is there a motion to accept Peter Van Dyne's treasurer's report as submitted?
I'll make that motion to accept Peter Van Dyne's treasurer report as delivered.
Second?
I will second.
Any questions? Comments? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion is carried. Thank you, Peter. New business. Okay, so I have a flyer here for the library program. The library program is happening on April 18th. April 18th is a Thursday. Brian Popovich and I have been working on this along with the members of the library board and staff, Liz Thornton and Mark Nystrom. We've met with them and had a very good planning meeting. Discussed the topics of what's in and what's out. And this is the flyer that we'll be promoting throughout town. The library has their newsletter, which we're able to agree on a month ahead of time. So it's going to be published in a newsletter. We're hoping to cover a lot in this workshop. So I encourage everybody to attend. If anybody has questions about what's in and what's out, we're going to recommend that they download an app on their phone. It's a recycle app. And it's called the WhatsApp. It's not WhatsApp. It's a really good app, and we're going to eventually have a link to that app on the town website. We're going to propose that the town has that available on the town website. And as a matter of fact, I think it might already be on a flyer. The flyer is basically the same flyer that we had attached to our calendar as a flyer. It was basically in the calendar. It wasn't printed. The what's in, what's out, the guide to recycling. And this is the QR code to the recycling app you can load onto your phone, I believe, or it might be just a link to the event. I'm not sure which. You'd have to check it with your phone. But that's going to be fun. And we're also going to be talking about the recycling challenge that we offer to people when we table, when you exhibit. The All-American Waste, Brian Popovich, has donated miniature recycling bins for us, and we hope to distribute those to educators in hopes of them also offering a recycling challenge to their students. It's kind of fun to challenge the students and the parents alike. So that's it. Any questions about the library program? Nope. Okay, on to the next item, and that's Earth Day celebration and special guest on April 20th. Saturday, April 20th is Earth Day, celebration at Frey Park. And we are having a special guest And we sent out the flyer. Hopefully everybody had a chance to comment on that. No, actually I didn't hear many comments from you guys. So I guess it was okay, right? You guys had a chance to look at that flyer?
No, I didn't have a chance to.
So that was sent out maybe a couple of weeks ago. It's basically Earth Day Family Celebration, Prairie Park, Fairy House Building Contest, and Guided Walk on Morticulture. So I spoke with Brenda about this. We went back and forth about how to keep the kids' interest up. You know, a lot of what we noticed at the Vernal Pool Walk was, you know, even though Ed Pollack was very engaging, a lot of the kids were antsy. And we thought that we would try to shuffle it up a little bit. Instead of having the Morticulture Walk at the beginning, we would actually have the Fairy House Building Contest at the beginning, so that the kids could actually build their fairy houses, and then we'll do the Morticulture Walk. So that's how it's reflected in this flyer, and hopefully...
Remind me what Morticulture is again.
Yeah, so Morticulture is... the best way to put it is the Morticulturist. It's a new field. It's the ecological importance of old and dead trees.
Oh, okay. Dead wood.
So, yeah, what's considered a waste resource and a hazard in forest landscapes, dead trees and logs are now known to be valuable and essential parts of a healthy, mature forest ecosystem. The importance and benefits of allowing our existing older and middle-aged forests to reach their full ecological potential and develop into a forest that has its full complement of environmental services is a process called proforestation, and that will also be discussed. And Marge Winters is the assistant director of the and instructor at the Roaring Brook Nature Center in Canton, where she's going to be delighted to share her passion for earth science and nature with all students of all ages. She is a master landscape design consultant and has completed the Connecticut Master Woodland Manager Program. She also serves as the chair of her combined Wetlands Conservation Commission and also is president of the Simsbury Land Trust. So I'm looking forward to hearing what she has to say, and I think we're very fortunate to have her as a special guest. Any questions?
No.
Nope.
Okay. So how are you guys doing for that? Can you guys hopefully be in attendance? I know Alan was at the Vernal Pool workshop. Can we see you guys? Expect to see you guys either at the library workshop or Earth Day?
I'm pretty sure I can make Earth Day. I don't know about the library.
How about you, Matt and Alan?
I'm pretty sure I'll be able to make it. I'm off that day. So yeah, you'll be seeing me.
I'll be at the library, but I already told you that I won't be at it.
Right, Alan. Earth, yeah. So Matt, you can make it for Earth Day.
Yep. So we're gonna. So the library talk is at what time?
6:30.
6:30 p.m. Yep. 6:30 p.m.
Yep.
No, a.m. Early bird.
I don't know if I'll make the Morticulture talk, but the 1 to 3 at Freya, I'll be there.
1 to 3 at Freya, yeah. Yep. So that's the Morticulture talk, 1 to 3 at Freya. So okay. Saturday's Earth Day. So you can make Earth Day Saturday the 20th?
Yep.
Okay, great. And Alan, you can make the library workshop.
Correct.
Great. And Matt, I mean, Peter, you can make Earth Day workshop.
Yeah, and maybe great. The library, but I'm not.
And maybe the library. Okay.
Do you have an extra copy of that?
Oh, which would you like? I have 20 million copies, yeah.
And I'll scan it and send it.
All printed on 100% recycled paper. And actually, I just added this today. I said, you know, if we're going to promote recycling, we should kind of practice what we preach. And just so you know, as long as I've been on the Conservation Commission, we've used everything. All the papers that I scatter all over this table, most of them, you know, other than the ones that we get from other people, they could be printed up on recycled paper, but we know that ours is, and it's 100%.
Do you have extra copies of that?
Yep. Sure, how many would you like?
Just one. I'll scan it and email it to people.
All right.
Any more paper.
Great. I'll be sending out the most recent version of these flyers, which are going to be posted on the Facebook page for the town of Bolton, included in the Bolton Bulletin, and also hopefully included on our webpage for the town of Bolton. And maybe, if since it's early enough, we're 2 weeks out, we can probably get some press coverage with the community news section of the Hartford Current and the Journal Inquirer. Any questions on that, you guys?
Nope, we're good.
Okay, good. Thanks, guys. Thank you, everyone, for agreeing to participate. The next item is the report on the CLCC conference at Wesleyan. So I think, did you guys have a chance to read my report?
I read some of it.
Okay. I'm just going to talk. I don't have my report here, but I can pretty much, here we go. I'm just going to mention my report real quick. So Al and I went down in the pouring rain, came back in the pouring rain. It was a crazy wet day. They had 600 people register. Not all 600 people showed up, but it was a pretty well-attended event. They had 56 workshops, 34 tabletop exhibits, and I thought it was a pretty amazing opportunity to go to so many different workshops. And I got a chance to network with a lot of people, and I actually mentioned the people in this report that I sent out. I attended three workshops. One was the adverse consequences of light pollution, which I thought was, I knew light pollution was really bad, but I didn't know it was this bad. Since LED lights have come online, the Eastern Seaboard satellite photos are mind-blowing. It's unbelievable how much light now is being emitted because of people's uninformed ability to light up their backyards and not have a shroud on top of the light.
And LED doesn't cost anywhere near as much.
Exactly, exactly. So people are leaving their lights 8%. On longer. But the way I understood it was that there's many species that migrate at night. 80% of all the migratory birds use stars and the moon. I think moths and butterflies also need nighttime for migration. So they get lost, they go in circles and they tend to use too much energy, and it's a very serious issue. And there's so many remedies to it. There was a gentleman there who had sample model regulations for zoning commissions on how to incorporate low impact development, no light pollution. And actually, the town of Bolton, I believe, has that. We have it.
Yeah,
there's.
I've been at the zoning board meetings where they.
Yep.
And somebody wanted to put up a sign, and they definitely put a condition on it that it be treated.
Yeah, that was done years ago. Hard to believe. It's like they spent a lot of time on that. So let's give a lot of credit to our Planning and Zoning Commission, right? So the three people, Susan Messino was there from Trinity College, Craig Repass, co-chair of Lights Out Connecticut, Leo Smith, who's chair of the Dark Sky International Connecticut chapter. So that was a really very informative seminar on how to light right, if you get a chance. Birds, moths, butterflies all navigate with moonlight and stars and get lost with light pollution. So that was really good. And the next one I went to was about parks, national parks. This was facilitated by Michael Kellett, who was from Restore the North Woods, and he was the one that worked really hard in Maine to create a national park in Maine. He wanted the entire center of Maine to be a national park, thousands of acres. We ended up selling for 87,000 acres when Barack Obama named the area around Mount Katahdin a national monument area. And that was done thanks to Burt's Bees, the owner of Burt's Bees. So he went on to show maps, which I included, I included that in my original email.
So, yeah.
And it showed northeastern Connecticut, the last Green Valley, about how you would like to have that as a national park. Area of Berkshire's northwest corner, the Maine coast up near Canada. There's a number of places, Rhode Island,
there's a number of places where he just thinks that we need to have national parks, because if you look at our existing national parks, they're maxed out. Acadia, you can't even get up to see the sunset anymore at Cadillac Mountain without making a reservation. You used to be able to drive right up. It's just overwhelmed. People are going to national parks more than they ever have. And we don't have as many as we should have. So that's what he's promoting. He's promoting more national parks. It was really interesting. And then the other one I attended was Understanding Old Growth Forests. This was done by the Connecticut DEEP, and there was a lot of misinformation, I thought, about, you know, how an old growth forest can actually end up maturing to the point where it's either mature or old growth. U.S. Forest Service has come up with a definition of old growth: 130 years or older for an old growth forest. If you find trees, and they were mentioning the fact that if you have one tree that's 130 years old or older, does that make it an old growth forest? Of course not. There has to be a canopy of contiguous mature forests. But what they said was that in order for an old growth forest to attain old growth forest status, they have to maintain it, which I totally disagree with. I think that a forest can be left alone and still reach old growth status. But that's just my opinion. But otherwise, it was informative. There was interesting facts about the characteristics of an old growth forest. Any questions at all about that?
Nope.
How about you guys? Let me hear from you. You guys attended too.
Alan, you want to go first or?
Yeah, I can go first. I went to the four of them. One was the Pequots. No, he was a Mohegan, but he was talking about various Indian aspects, and mostly what I took away from it was for my own personal information, and it was actually very well presented, and I can't really say much more about it. The my biggest charge was that the guy mentioned dogbane. I've never heard anybody else say dogbane before.
Well, how do you say it again? Say it slower.
What's that? It's dogbane. It's in the milkweed family, and their bark is very, very strong, and they use it for cordage. And I, in my own feeble attempts at making cordage, I made a nice piece of it, and it was literally so strong that it practically cut me before it broke. So it's very, very thin. So it's really pretty cool stuff. But anyways, he was talking about how they part of what they're involved with is getting permission to expand to their original tribal land holdings and use the resources that are there. So there's a big conversation about resource management and that sort of thing. But in any case, it's really, you know, something that I'm particularly interested in. The other one I went to was like the storyteller Indian thing. And that was mostly, from my opinion, a rehash of what I already kind of knew. So I really didn't, you know, the only thing that was interesting that I didn't know is that the Colchester Reservation is where the Pugwassets are mostly doing their thing now, because the only other reservation that they have is a quarter acre in Bridgeport. So, and like I say, she spent most of the time telling the story, which I'm pretty familiar with. The last one I went to, then I went to an activism conference. Sessions, and they had six teenage or high school kids, and talking about their activism and the struggles that they experience, and they kind of gave everybody a background knowledge of, you know, how they came to that, and it was pretty interesting. When I first got there, I thought, I'm in the wrong place. But I'm not sure why I was thinking that, but it just felt kind of weird. But, you know, it ended up being, you know, they were very informative, and You know, so like I say, so there is youth activism in Connecticut and elsewhere. And, you know, and some of the stuff that they're doing, one girl was concerned about feeding, making food available. I can't quite think of the other ones now, but they were, you know, I mean, there's, it gave me something like hope for the future. And, you know, they talked about getting burnt out and you know, how they didn't, you know, they didn't always fit in and, you know, some of the controversies that they experienced and challenges, you know, from a high school person's perspective. But the one that I found really interesting was actually the, I forget what it was called, but it was about, they had a business and their business is to make, basically turn lawns into habitat. And I ended up taking some really, really good notes. I meant to actually prepare a statement about that. But I did take, oh, wait, I got some of the ideas, hold on. So, yeah, so I did take some notes. And this is, I'm just going to give you a couple of things. But they were talking about basically how to market and make the woods really accessible to people with the idea that that people have lost their connection with nature. And so the question was, how do you restore that connection? And one of the things they were talking about was harnessing human creativity, becoming essential. And but there's so their logo was regarding, you know, nature for everyone forever. And then they say that it starts off with recognizing that nature is worth something. And then with that, getting people really familiar with nature, meaning more interested because, you know, oh, look there, just like what we do. And then that kind of builds a trust relationship with nature because they recognize the value of nature. And then that builds confidence and then that builds support for, you know, for whatever our projects that we have. And it's like special places for everyone. And then they talked about having a very deliberate plan for making their lawns and their activities available. And the thing I especially thought was interesting was that they talked about, you know, using signage to, you know, start the familiarity process. Oh, look, here's, you know, Dogbane, for instance, and what would be used for, and, you know, sort of like an interpretive trail. So,
interesting.
That's again, I thought it was really interesting and it gave me some ideas about maybe in particular with Frere Park, like how we could like really dress up the entrance to make it look really inviting and interesting and, you know, kind of juice people up to, you know, want to keep coming back and bringing their friends and such.
Totally. Yeah. I was just there the day, the sign up sheet, notebook, cover was ripped off, so I had replaced that and restocked with just a few brochures I had left and put a laminated copy of our Earth Day program up and also the library workshop. So, yeah, and it could be improved quite a bit. We could really come up with a plan at some point, maybe with some landscaping and some signage, better signage, and natural signage.
Yes.
That'd be cool. Well, thanks, Alan, for that report.
All right, but I do have some questions. This may not be the best time to say it, but so we have the right of way from the parking lot to Frere Park, correct?
We are one of many. Yes. Yep.
Okay, and but the entrance to Frere Park is right as we start going down the hill. So just above
the right of way runs the way we arrive at the benches, yes, pretty much. We share that with the DOT and also the old drive-in theater.
Right, but the actual entrance to Freya Park is right at the where we cleared all those invasive species.
Yeah, if you look at the map, the entrance is actually further down, so it's a little bit. That's just a corner turn in the trail.
Okay.
That's state land right there.
Yeah, there's 1 acre of state land right there. Yeah, that's actually state land. And then we are further down as you cross the stream. That's when you enter into Freya Park. You can look at our parcel map next time you come to the meetings.
Is there any agreement between the town and the state that should remain part of the park, essentially? Because it really is.
What should remain part of the park?
The state land at the edge of the pond.
It's separate. It's not really part of the park. It's part of Notch Pond. They own Notch Pond.
Right, yeah. Yeah, but all I'm getting at is there should be a memorandum of understanding or something between the park department of the state that has control of that land and the town of Bolton that has control of Freya Park, that it should be treated as one continuous park.
Well, that be an item for the agenda. Submit that to me in writing. You can add that for a discussion at one of our meetings.
Yep.
Let me just hear from Alan. Is that pretty much it?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay, Matt?
All right. So the first one I went to was actually first session. I went to three of them. First session I went to was on source water protection, presented by Denise Savageau and Emily
Wilson.
Thank you. Just they opened up with a little bit of background about the Connecticut Safe Drinking Water Act. And the federal Safe Drinking Water Act. Little did I know at the time that the Connecticut Safe Drinking Water Act was actually passed before the federal, and actually Connecticut's was the blueprint for the federal Safe Drinking Water Act. A couple of interesting things from that session. Number one, there was some concern. There was some concern among the attendees about the use of salt on the roads, and Denise pretty much said that is a DOT matter, but actually DOT has recently gotten into doing MS4 reports, so that's kind of interesting. But the big sort of upshot of the the big thing for me from that session was the Yukon Clear Project. I forget what the acronym stands for, but basically what it is a map of the entire state using GIS data that identifies areas of high interest when it comes to conserving them for source water protection. Proximity to streams, slope of grade. The data set, the system has to be in the number of terabytes. It's got to be absolutely massive. So that data set is available for public use.
Geo data portal that I had mentioned?
Yes, I believe it is, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Sorry.
Go ahead. No, it's okay. That was the big upshot from the first session I went to. The second session I went to actually dovetails with the outreach section, which I will be referring back to in just a little bit, but when it comes around. The second session I went to was using print and digital media to build awareness slash connection to. It was centered around land trusts, but I actually gleaned a couple of good ideas, or ideas that sound good to me. Obviously, things that are going to need to be cultivated. In particular, this was particularly centered around the. Plainville B, was it? Was it Plainville? It gets away from me. There was a free newspaper that they actually used to sort of increase awareness and interest in their land of trust. Also the use of blogging, weblogging, came up, and that strikes me as another possibility for not only outreach, but also for ways of generating and maintaining more interest in our in Bolton Conservation events. Also as a way of capturing emails that, you know, email addresses for folks who are interested in keeping in touch with us and maintaining that. And there will be more about that in the outreach portion of our presentation, if you will. So yeah, definitely some good ideas came about from that session. And then the last one I went to was another good one. It was Nature for Resilient Connecticut, also presented by Denise Savageau, and I forget who else was in there. But there's actually another project at UConn, the CIRCA, which is the Connecticut Institute for Resilience and Climate Adaptation, which is basically at this point they are a their function seems to be more educational, and I actually learned about carbon sinks, both blue carbon being entitled wetlands, as well as teal carbon referring to inland wetlands, which was just sort of a novel concept there that I really appreciated. Another thing that came up during that session was the presence of some legislative bills, and I think that as a commission, it might not be a bad idea for us to be a little more, I won't say involved, but definitely more aware, both as individuals and as a commission, of pending legislation within our town, or within our state rather, when it comes to legislation that affects the environment. There was a House Bill 5475, which was actually seeking an exemption from the Inland Wetland Watercourses Act, basically turning it over to the town boards of selectmen about whether or not a parcel of land can be exempted from that, which just is, in my humble opinion, absolutely a just terrifying notion and a horrendous idea.
Agreed.
I wrote down some other bills, but I didn't write down what they were about. And I think that the content of the bills that I'm, just my big upshot with that is that we need, that it would behoove all of us, both again as individuals and citizens of the state of Connecticut, but also as members of this commission, to be more aware of legislation and perhaps even discuss it as a commission. I don't know what kind of I don't know if it's within the purview of a commission to put out a white paper to give to a legislator, or to offer our opinion, our educated opinion, as a commission to our elected representatives. So that's another plate spinning in the background, and that's pretty much my thing from the CLCC.
Great, thank you. So I can respond to a lot of that. Yes, regarding CLEAR and CIRCA, UConn is making great strides in land use, and they are now kind of filling in the missing link that DEEP has offered. DEEP used to play a stronger role
in outreach with communities, especially with wetlands commissions. They're basically now missing in action. It's kind of sad. Their staff is dwindling. And it's almost because of, as a result, we end up seeing crazy legislation like that affordable housing bill, which I might add, you know, we might not be acting on that, but we are a member of CACUIC. I am a director of CACUIC, and I continually meet with other directors, including the president, and we have a very strong presence. This session, even though it was short, they've had meetings with the authors of the legislation and the co-chair of the Environment Committee, and they've actually taken away a lot of the language that was originally there that would allow communities to circumvent the Wetlands Act, pretty much, in the name of affordable housing. It kind of defeats the purpose. If you're going to have affordable housing, you have to have clean water. You have to have stormwater retention and, you know, understand the functions of a wetland. The storage capacity. Yeah, it's crazy. So, yes, we can have a white paper, but the problem is we've already authorized that. We've had numerous discussions on this at a director level about how little time we have to comment. Legislation happens literally overnight, sometimes even sooner than that. So a lot of the ability to comment on behalf of a large group is almost impossible. So we have to pretty much authorize somebody to speak on our behalf. And I think we've done that pretty well this session. You might have heard today's paper, I think it was, that the NIP legislation didn't make it out of committee, so that has died, but the seed has been planted. They promised to come back next year. And the legislation, I'm not sure if I agree with it or not, that would ban, allow communities to decide whether they collect money for NIPs and take that money in and use it for different purposes. I really think the money should be rededicated, reevaluated. The money should go to one fund, and that fund should be used to have redemption centers and be like the state of Maine, where they actually take in NIPs and they recycle them, or they throw them away, one of the two, but they do have a redemption center where people go and drop them off, and they're off the streets. So if Maine can do it, we can do it, as far as I'm concerned. And I think we should look into, instead of having towns use the money for whichever way they think is necessary, and there's a big question as to whether they're following the guidelines of how the money was allotted, with certain requirements. Whether it's actually keeping NIPs off the road or not is a question. Or out of our storm drains. Or I got an email today from Barbara Modio saying that there's all kinds of trash that she noticed, and I said, please send a picture. Picture says it all. I think it's near Notch Pond. She was basically saying that she noticed some trash coming out of a culvert, which is from the highway, apparently. So I don't know what we can do, but we can probably just also write as an individual, even though we might not agree on something as a commission, we might not have the time to agree as part of a commission. We can write individually. There's Brenda. Hi, Brenda.
Hi, Brenda.
Hey, Brent.
I'm not really going to stick around because I've got bronchitis.
Oh.
You sound it.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Sorry to hear that.
This is the fourth time I've had it since November, so I see the doctor tomorrow.
I'm sorry, Brenda.
It's okay. Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you for being here. You know, we just talked about the events we're having, and we're just hearing reports from Matt and Alan and myself on the Connecticut Land Conservation Council meeting that we attended a week ago Saturday.
Yeah.
So we're almost done. Actually, we're moving pretty quickly here. The next item is the results of Vernal Pools Day. And basically, there's a collage I made. I don't know if you can see this. It's a really nice collage. It was a really great turnout. We had about 29 people. I felt bad for one family. They didn't make it out of the parking lot. Their kids were playing in the sand so much, they didn't want to leave. There was like sand on the side of the parking lot. It was kind of funny. You know, and the mother looked at me and says, I'm sorry, you know, they're just having too much fun. They don't want to leave. And then the kids had too much fun when I mentioned the fairy house building contest. They started building fairy houses next to the rural pool. So it was like, the kids get very distracted.
but I thought they liked it a lot. To me, this says it all. If you see the picture of this kid in the middle there, Brian Avery's son, he picked up one of our laminated ID brochures of obligate species, and he was amazed by the fairy shrimp. And he was just studying it. If you can see the picture of him.
Oh, that's what he was studying.
Yeah, it was great. He was the greatest kid. It was a lot of fun. We had 25 people, good turnout. I had a chance to thank Munson today for allowing us to park. Worked out really well. Any questions on that, on the whirlpool? Thank you for being there, Alan. Thanks for helping out with that. Thanks for being a sweep. That was really important to have a person in the front, person in the back. Great to have the vests. Thank you, Brenda, for making those vests. Those are just fantastic.
Yep.
So it worked out really well. The next is Trails Day planning. So I already discussed Trails Day. I think if it's okay with everybody, I'd like to go forward with Trails Day and do a hike to the Old Growth Forest on Box Mountain. I already received permission from the landowner, Mark Summers, and also got an okay from Matt Largess, who will be joining us for Trails Day again. How many years in a row is that the internationally known arborist is joining us for Trails Day? So that's on the first Saturday in June. Is that June 1st, maybe? I don't know. The first Saturday in June is Trails Day, and if it's okay.
You know, in a minute.
Would somebody like to make a motion that we have Trails Day and invite Matt Largess and go to the Box Mountain Forest?
So moved.
Is there a second?
It is June 1st.
June 1st. Is there a second to that?
I will second. Looks like we already had it sort of slated in there for 10 o'clock. So, yeah.
Actually, it's 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock? Okay.
Yep. So there's a second. Any more questions on that? June 1st or 2nd? It's a Saturday. June 2nd is the rain date.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
Cool. All right. So there's a motion and a second. Okay. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion's carried. Great. Thank you. All right. Next is Manchester Water Company property. So a lot of you might ask, what do we have to do with Manchester Water Company property? And the answer is a lot, and it's related to an aquifer. An aquifer, believe it or not, there's a huge groundwater lake sitting right underneath the very northwest corner of Bolton. And it runs behind, across the street from Bolton Motors, all the way to Lightall Street. There's even Manchester Water Company property in the Manchester Land Trust Risley Reservoir in the town of Vernon. So Manchester Water Company owns a lot of property in other towns. And we had a chance to meet with Kyle Hopkins from the Manchester Water Company property, because he's in the process of marking his boundaries. And we had a chance to view the ATV damage and also a pipe that has been severed. There's a picture of that stormwater pipe that they want to repair. There's also three wells, not two. We've only had two mapped for the aquifer, level B, actually level A now, aquifer, that has two, they're called the Bolton Wells in Manchester, on the Manchester Water Company property. They're capped. One of them had a motorcycle helmet on it. The other one was a true artesian, where they had a pipe coming out of it, and it went at least 150 feet down. That's how much water was coming. It was just coming out of it and running into a stream, filling the wetlands. So they were very happy to see that, but they were really unhappy to see the amount of damage from ATVs. So they're in the process of pretty much putting up signs on the perimeter, and they're going to be monitoring it aggressively.
That property is adjacent to the property that's now for sale on the corner?
Yes, yes, it is. Yeah. And that's all the aquifer protection area, level A. Level B, I think it's, I'm not sure what
and
level
they're at. As far as Bolton zoning goes, how is that covered? How is that protected?
Well, yeah, it's a great question. So they asked us if we wanted to be the aquifer protection agency, and Tom Fiorentino at the time, this is 20 years ago, 15 years ago maybe, Said, no, we're not a regulatory agency. It really should be the Planning and Zoning Commission. So the Planning and Zoning Commission has a subcommittee called the Aquifer Protection Agency, and they meet, they're required to meet whenever there is any proposed activity. They used to meet on a quarterly basis, but now I think they meet whenever there's any activity within the aquifer. And there's very strict state guidelines on the aquifer. So, any other questions about that?
No.
Okay. Next is stream temperature vernal pool monitoring update. So, when we did go on the vernal pool walk on Vernal Pools Day, actually it was St. Patrick's Day, but we did not have a chance to swap out the tidbit because we didn't want to interfere.
When a continuous,
with a continuous, right.
We should be continuous through the warm-up season of the vernal pool.
Right, but it was clear that that vernal pool was thriving. Mm-hmm. There was no sign of any drought. There was tons of water, and as a matter of fact, they found a mat of wood frogs, an egg mass
mm-hmm.
that was not far from where the tidbit is, and so I didn't want to disrupt it. And actually, something interesting happened. Alan, you remember this? And Matt, were you there last year? Or you were, right?
No, I missed it last year.
Okay. So Alan, you were there last year with Hank Gruner, right? Alan,
oh, you're muted.
Yes, I was. Yep.
Okay. So the difference between Hank Gruner and Ed Pollack was quite remarkable. So Hank Gruner said, yeah, let's all get our feet wet. Let's get into the vernal pool and let's try to get some critters and have them floating on the water. And whereas Ed Pollack said, no, let's not get close. Let's all stand back here and I'm going to move forward. And he mentioned a pathogen that is now spreading from people that are, whether it be fly fishermen or anybody that's in one pond or stream to another, and the importance of washing your feet off with some sort of alcohol-based, something that really kills the germs and that pathogen especially. So I did mention to him that we're instructed to do that for 2 years in a row with our riffle bioassessment, but he didn't seem to think that running water had the same pathogen. Is that what he said, Alan?
Yeah, he said that the pathogens are in the surrounding environment and have always been there, apparently. But the problem is, like you were saying, if it's running water or apparently a big body of water, it's not an issue. It's just like where it's like a closed-in vernal pool that has no outlet, that the pathogen gets into the water and destroys pretty much everything.
Yeah, so that's interesting. That should be noted, that there's this pathogen that we have to be aware of when we do our swapping. We should definitely have a tub where we can actually, either dip our feet in and clean, or we can just use some wipes to clean the boots, the waders, the bottom of the waders, but the bottom of the waders had like a sponge material to them too, so I don't know how that's going to work.
I know that that's been, the bottom of waders has changed in the last 10 years from a federal point of view. They don't sell waders with the same material on the soles.
No kidding.
Yeah, for exactly that reason.
Ours aren't that old, but
yeah,
maybe we got older versions of them.
I'm sure you really need to have some sort of non-slits or slip avoidance.
Right.
I mean, you get
right.
You step on a slippery rock in the wrong stream and you're in trouble.
True.
But what they used to use, they found was dangerous to the water life.
Right.
So they changed I think the EPA federal put out guidelines about fishermen's waders, what you could use on the soles.
All right, so give us an update. When are we planning to swap, and which waders should we swap and when?
The vernal pools shouldn't be swapped until late June or early July.
So not till, okay.
We're well beyond when anything that's going to hatch is hatched.
Okay. All right.
Of course, the other thing, forget the pathogen. The birds love to eat the eggs too, or the small animals.
Right, right. Yeah, I didn't realize how many critters rely on wood frogs. It's amazing. They're part of the chain. All right, so anything else on stream temperature vernal pool monitoring update? Anything else on that? So we pretty much have you've already done an inventory on all our.
I'm way behind on that sort of work. I'm trying to catch up with the financial stuff.
Right, right, okay. All right, so we'll just carry this over till next month, and then eventually month of probably May or June, we'll get out there and start swapping out. You know, the importance of swapping it out, to me, I don't know, I never could understand why we just can't leave it in there. The batteries last 5 years.
Well, what good is the data if you don't get it?
You want to have it fresh. You want to have it, you want to interpret it, and you want to be able to share it like in a calendar. Right?
The thing is, trying to get the data in the field has proven to be the biggest problem. You get back to you think you have something in your shuttle, you get back to your computer and there's nothing there.
So we might be missing data then.
Okay. We have in the past, and we've gotten, sometimes sort of we trade hobos, monitors, loggers with the state DWP. They're supposed to be ready to go, and no way. I mean, three or four times that they're not programmed the way they're supposed to be. So, you know, you have to bring the stuff back to where you can see it. Now, I understand, you know, if you're a professional organization that's keeping track of a water supply reservoir or something, your people are doing this, you know, every week. And so they get the techniques down and they don't make the mistakes. But to avoid the mistakes of a volunteer amateur group like we are, you really need to have the device in hand and make sure that you've got the data.
Right.
The only way to do that is to swap out.
Okay. All right. So
and there's no Bluetooth for them? They're not Bluetooth compatible?
Good question. Well, is it Bluetooth? Brett is asking, is there a Bluetooth compatibility?
Well, we only have two Bluetooth devices for the vernal pools. And it doesn't work while they're underwater. You have to take them out and put them back in. And you don't want to do that. You really don't want to do that during the vernal pool warm-up season, which is when you want to get accurate data from the same spot, the same place.
Yeah.
But we'll move forward on that, and we'll start in May. And just so you know, a little bit of information, kind of like a news flash, kind of. Ed Pawlak verified this, that the Town of Bolton's Conservation Commission is the only conservation commission in the state of Connecticut that is monitoring the temperature of two vernal pools. Okay, it's pretty remarkable. It's almost like that 30-point run the Yukon Huskies had. That was a record. That was a joke. But anyway, it was pretty impressive.
When was the tidbit in the vernal pool that you visited, this vernal pool state, when was that put in? Was that put in before the beginning of last year's warm-up or last summer? We'll know.
That was put in. I was with Alan, and that was when we were doing our salamander survey. Right, Alan? Remember that?
Yes.
What was that, last July?
Yeah, okay. It was very, very hot.
This year's warm-up is the first year that we'll have a record of that vernal pool's warm-up.
Right.
But it'll be the fourth year that we'll get the record from the Notch vernal pool.
But just so you know, there's nobody doing this. And I mean, it's great to be, cutting edge, right?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's not as good as the 30-point run they had. That was freaking phenomenal. Did you see that?
Yeah.
You're a men. You're not a men's basketball fan.
Well, I'm following them in the tournament, but
they got 30 points in a row, and that was the first time.
When you said run, I thought that you were out on the road.
No, I'm sorry.
I don't know all about that.
That was pretty unbelievable.
It's a tournament record. Nobody else has ever done anything like that.
It's lights out. Ooh, light bright. Got it. Anyway, that's it. It's getting late. Steam temperature, vernal pool monitoring updates. Anything else on vernal pools? Monitoring update? Nope. I'm thinking next year we do a vernal pool survey on a different vernal pool. And I'm thinking it would be really nice to do it at the one that Ed Pollack mentioned in his talk. He was part of CAWS, which is the Connecticut Association of Wetland Scientists. Mm-hmm. And they picked 6 vernal pools throughout the state to study. And one of them is right here. Right behind the top, right behind the library.
Which we have visited, but we don't have a...
We should have vernal pools that day there. We should do a sidewalk.
We should get a monitor into that pool.
It's a great idea.
This fall.
Yes. All right, so can we put that in the minutes? Do we all agree with that by consensus, that we get another tidbit? Or do you want to use a hobo?
I just certainly use a tidbit in the vernal pools.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Do you want to make a motion for that now, or...
I don't think we need a motion, but I think it should be mentioned in the minutes.
Okay.
I'm not planning to do that.
Good. All right.
And it actually comes to buying it, but I think we should probably wait for a while.
Until the fall.
Yeah.
Okay. Next item is mapping GIS metadata with NRA, Natural Resource Inventory. So, Brenda, before earlier in the meeting, I showed that the maps, we got these really big maps. They're 3x5, and they're made paper, and we can roll them out on our table, and we can start adding, where this vernal pool is behind the library, the little VP, write down, little pencil in things that, where we do our riffle bioassessment, where we have the old growth forest network property that we like so much, and start mapping, adding layers and layers of data. To that map, if there's a glacial erratic, if there's an aquifer, things like that. So Peter, in his efforts of trying to not only map physically on the table, but also through GIS, was able to coordinate with Ken Geisler, mm-hmm. who used to be with the Nature Conservancy, and he shared all the metadata, correct?
He shared how to get the metadata from the state.
Gotcha.
And then I had to have quite a back and forth with the author of the GIS program that I have, who is the chairman of the committee of being able to use GIS data between different GIS programs.
What? Is it statewide?
No, this is all
industry-wide.
Industry-wide, yeah. Huh? Yeah. So, the state DWP town parcel map database is, I won't go into the details, but why they keep it in the datum that they and the format that they keep it in is fine, but I don't think they ever would have been able to use the data without the help of the company that writes the program that I own. But I've got all the data, and I've got two programs going. One is the town of Bolton for us, and the other is the four towns with the watershed. And to put the watershed together with the towns was non-trivial, but I've got that done. But there's a lot of work just to have the basic data there ready to go. And it's all downhill from here. I know what they have to do, but there's work to be done.
That reminds me of Cameron Colville, who's our wetlands agent. I had offered him a copy of the vernal pool survey that was done by Ed Pollack.
Mm-hmm.
He was interested in that, very much interested in that. So you gave that back to me. That's in the zip drive.
Was that I think I gave that back
you did,
to you.
You gave it back to me, right?
If I didn't give it back to you, I have it.
No, I have it. I have it. But I'm just wondering, was that something I could send to him in a Google Drive, or is it something only
It's big. Kind of big.
Okay.
So it all depends on, you might run into trouble trying to do it. That's one of the reasons that you gave it to me in a thumb drive.
Right, but it was like 10 other...
Yeah, there was other stuff there too, but you know, sometimes it's easier to have something in a thumb drive and just give it to you, and then boom, boom, it happens, rather than struggling with the internet.
So in light of what you're telling me, I'm just wondering if we're good to go when it comes to this map on the table. We're able to pencil in highlights. Can we input that onto your...
We can input platform. That. I mean, we're not quite ready to that.
We're not ready.
What I'm saying.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
I've done That's a lot fine. Of work on it, but I know what has to be done, but it's not done yet.
So we'll just mark the heck out of that map, and then by the time it's filled up.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. That'd be great. Hear that, everybody? So if you have anything in Bolton that you want to map, make sure you write it down, and we'll add it to this map, and we'll call it the Natural Resource Inventory.
Yeah, we
really
have a layer that will show us where we have our stream and vernal pool monitors.
Right. That's another good
yeah,
use for
yeah.
it. Yeah, yeah. Not to mention steep slopes. There's so many things. I mean, when it comes to, you know, zoning, you can add layers and layers and layers. And that's why you want to really go, if you're in front of your computer right now, Matt, Alan, and Brenda, the geodata portal. It's mind-blowing. There's so many layers of information. I think, Matt, you alluded to that from one of your workshops.
Probably, yes.
There's just amazing amount of data. And in January, they were supposed to have the LiDAR data added, and it was delayed. And I think they said they were going to have it ready in March. So that might be available. And the LiDAR data is going to be very detailed, too. So that's the geodata portal can add to our Natural Resource Inventory. All right, so move on to the next item, which is photo contest deadline, May 6th, 2024. Okay, so we have Brenda here. How cool is that? We're lucky to have her here, and I'm going to ask Brenda if there's any way possible that we could conduct a photo contest judging offline. Is there any way that we could send the link of the photos
yeah.
that have entered, and then each one of us could pick our favorite 12 photos, four categories.
That's what I said to do last year, so we don't have to have a special meeting every time.
Yeah, we did it last year.
No,
we did both.
We did both.
Yeah, we had before the meeting. We were able to go through all the photos and
okay.
choose. So maybe we can just skip the meeting this year.
Yeah, save us money, since we don't have any funding anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, we have funding, we just don't have...
We can review the results of our how we did it at the meeting after that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Cool. All right, so we'll plan on doing that this time around. Brandon, do you have anything else? Any updates on photo contest entries? I know we had a couple of them recently.
Yeah.
Sunsets.
Yep. We'll see. Most of them are taken with phones, and they just look crappy when you blow them up.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah,
That's
we'll
what
see.
People carry with them. They all have the cell phones, but unfortunately, that doesn't work for calendar pictures.
Now, Alan and Matt, you guys had the laminated posters I made. Those, did you have a chance to post them anywhere? Or?
No, I haven't had a chance to post them yet.
Okay. Could you, next time you're in the hardware store or at the Fish Family Farm, maybe you could just let them know that our photo contest deadline is coming up and get the word out to your neighbors and friends and... you know, the more photos we have submitted, the better chances we have of selling more calendars. Better, right? So Brenda, I wanted to show you, as long as you're here, I had, where's that calendar? Oh, here it is. Yeah, so there's one left at the table. This is the 8 Mile River calendar. It's It's absolutely beautiful, the pictures in this, and they're not from a photo contest. They're just pictures that they picked out themselves. Can you say that, Brenda?
Yeah, I can.
Yeah.
I pointed out that it's not so large.
It's not so large. You're right. It's a little smaller. I was actually thinking of making it bigger, but, you know, it depends on how busy you are, how many items you have.
The thing is, the other problem is, the bigger the calendar, the better granularity the picture has to have.
True.
So if you're not blowing the picture up quite so big, maybe you can get good results with more pictures. Right, Brenda? Yeah, I know. You really like to have a lot of pixels in your pictures.
Yeah, it's not good to have a lot of, not as many pixels, put it that way. Yeah. The fewer there are, the more grainy it gets.
Okay, I just wanted to also fill everybody in that we had made a motion that we, commission members, can submit photos for the calendar. Not the photo contest, but for the calendar. We had made a motion that was done, like, I think 2 years ago. So if you have any photos you'd like to submit, send them to Brenda, and then we'll consider that.
I'm sort of going around with my camera instead of my phone.
Did we get some wildlife pictures?
Does it say that in the rules?
No, it's an internal. It's just with us. It's our rules.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Anything else on the calendar?
I have a bunch of pictures, but they're all from the phone, so probably not particularly.
Well, I'll have to see the quality, Alan. Sorry.
Yeah.
Some phones take better pictures than other phones.
Yep.
Yes. So just so you know, we have probably about three calendars left at the library, and I think we have three left at the town hall, and that's it. And I think they probably sold all of them. We're probably just collecting the money, $60 from them. And you already submitted. You're up to date with.
I just realized that I don't think we have. I have submitted the last $100 check that didn't get signed.
Yeah.
But it didn't. I don't see it on my. In my book, so I think we're $100 short of actually what we have.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So you'll check into that?
Yes. I've got a note to check that. Great. Yes.
Awesome. Any questions on that, Brenda, at all?
Nope.
Anything on the calendar? Okay.
No.
Brenda has announced that she will help us with the calendar again next year. Bless her heart. We also agreed that November 1st was going to be the deadline that we submit the dates. The dates have to go to her, and it's going to be submitted on November 1st, and that's it. There's no changes. One of the problems she has with the most frustrating thing she has to do is go and make changes once a date is added or changed or manipulated in some form or fashion. It's really hard for her to do. So I think it'll be much easier. Brendan and I had this discussion that if she has everything in front of her on November 1st, she can work on it and finalize it from that point on. Right, Brenda?
Yep. And just to say, that includes your changes as well. If you make any changes after November 1st, Rod, they are not going to happen.
No waivers for the chairman.
Right. I promise there will be no changes after November 1st. Well, the whole town will have to suffer. That's okay. No, it's really just a calendar, and it's not... You know, it's not the congressional record, right?
Yep.
All right. Okay, next is the FBL report.
Yeah. Our spring forum, we're going to have the speaker is Robert Corum.
Cortman, right.
And that's Wednesday, April 17th.
Ooh, the day before the recycling.
It's a busy week.
That week is crazy week. Yeah,
that's crazy week
every
April.
Day. I'm volunteering Monday and Friday at the district. Tuesday night I have a meeting. Wednesday I actually got going to that meeting. I swapped it up, switched it from Tuesday to Wednesday so that they could go to the forum. And then Thursday and then Friday, it's like Saturday.
And then Thursday.
Yeah. And that's Earth Day. And if it rains, it's Sunday. Yeah. So it's a busy week. Yeah. Good. So Cortman, and what's the topic of the workshop?
Cyanobacteria and invasives.
Cyanobacteria and invasives.
And our state representative, what's his name, Ackerman?
Eckert.
I know it's like, it was close.
Yep.
Has already committed to be present.
Good. Good. I can't wait to get him in the corner. Just like, hey, what do you think of this? You know? Okay. And yeah, he's what, actually what now.
Time is that?
6:30?
6:30. I think it's 6:30, but the first 20-30 minutes is just a business meeting, which the nonprofit has to have annually, inviting all our members. So that the if you're a member of FBL, you got to be there at 6:30 to, you know, make sure that the we get voted in and remain viable for another year. But if you're just coming for the forum, it'll probably be around 7. But that information is out there. I can get it to you.
Okay. And just so you know, Eckert usually doesn't miss this. He's always attended all forums. It's really great. Very supportive. All right. Bolton Lakes Watershed Conservation Alliance. We are planning another kayak with Yukon, Upper Bolton Lake, this spring. We are looking to get answers from DEEP on where or the status of the Bolton Lakes Watershed Management Plan. I had emailed Jim Rupert. He has not seen a sign of it. I've been told to contact somebody else at DEEP now that Eric Thomas is gone. I remember the name. I think I ran it by you. I will probably email him at some point and also ask for the management plan of the trash rack of the Upper Bolton Lake Dam. So that's we had a pretty good meeting, had lots of good discussion, and we'll be meeting again this month, fourth Monday of the month. That's another, it's never ending. All right, so Salmon River Watershed Partnership, Matt.
SRWP did not meet in the month of March. There's the next meeting is April 17th. I'll be bringing you a report on that. But since I have the floor, we missed outreach under item 6.3. So if I could just
we did. I'm sorry. Let's go back to outreach, Matt. Thanks for catching that. Yep.
So everybody.
With the
agenda. Everybody read the agenda. Read the BCC outreach SBAR. That's sort of my report. I don't know if everybody's familiar with SBAR reporting. It's a way of reporting things that we use in the I came across it in the hospital setting, and it's just, for me, it's quite effective. It forces me to encapsulate things very succinctly. So
which is supposed to be a map there on that report. Was it all text?
It's all text, yes.
Oh, okay. I was confused about that. I thought there was supposed to be a map on there. I didn't find it, so I wasn't supposed to find it because it wasn't there.
All right, no worries. So let me just start by putting it out there. Are there any questions about the SBAR report?
I guess the question, something that I learned, and this is through my meeting with Liz Thornton, apparently there's a number of groups in town that already have a subscription to Constant Contact. And somehow I thought the town had an account, but it's each individual. I think the Rec Commission has their own Constant Contact report, and so does the library.
Okay.
So that's news. I don't know if that helps you, Matt.
I don't know if that's really any. I don't know if that really informs anything as of this point in time. Only because I'm not gonna kid anybody. My personal email inbox, it is a hot mess. So, and also I'm thinking that part of the reason why we're not getting the bite on our emails that we might otherwise have is that by sending it from our personal email account, like for mine, it's mrivers_rnpro. People see that email address, people see that from line, and that strikes them, and that would probably strike most folks as a business trying to solicit, and it's just sort of like, okay, spam, bye bye.
Through Bolton Photo? Can he hook up to, if he had the Bolton Photo site or Town of Bolton, whatever?
Now the town of Bolton website. Glad you bring that up. I was coming around to that. I'm definitely thinking that the optimal situation is for us to obtain an email address through the town, Boltonct.org or .com. I mean, as we are a town entity that does interface with the public. My personal recommendation at this point would be to start the ball rolling through probably just to get a Bolton Conservation Commission email through the town of Bolton for the exact reason that it'll increase the recognizability of the Conservation Commission emails, and so it is less likely to be bounced as spam or just a business soliciting. Sorry, but also it will allow for transferability between members of the Conservation Commission. So, you know. Let's say I'm the sort of I'm the de facto administrator of this account, and I for some reason am unable to carry out those duties, then say Brenda or Alan could be granted access to that email yep. address, and then
I agree.
And also, it will. I believe the town uses Outlook as their email client, so that will. So that allows for blast email capacity up to 500 recipients, which will. Our contact list is far south of that threshold. Let me just assure you. Also, there is the capacity for read receipt reports. Basically, including a read receipt in the email that the person can click on and just say, yes, I got this, and yes, I will be in attendance, no, I won't be, or even remove me from the email, or even remove me. So there's options within that.
Yeah.
So that's my recommendation, again, because it is mostly because it accomplishes our goal of increasing the brand recognizability of the Conservation Commission. And all so it makes us less likely to be marked as spam, and also it allows us to again maintain that central database, have it transferable between users, and it's not going to cost us anything except a little bit of time and effort to get that blessed by the town. And so probably, Rod, what do you well, again, let me throw it out there. What are the commission's thoughts on this?
We need a motion on that. So what are you proposing exactly that we do?
I am proposing that we get approach the appropriate entities in the town. Now, not knowing who I am, I'm thinking we would just go to, say, Jim Rupert and just have him farm us to the appropriate entity from there. And Rod, seeing as you are the chair of the commission, my recommendation would be for you to approach Jim Rupert, unless there's some other way of going about this. Again, this is terra incognita for me. So, but again, my recommendation would be to get an email address for the Conservation Commission through the town domain.
Okay, so it goes back to the last meeting. I think I had discussed the possibility of you and I drafting a letter. And I think instead of going to Jim Rupert, I think you could go to Kathy. Kathy is the person, the contact person for Jim.
Right.
And I think that, yeah, if you draft a letter, just a point blank, everything you pretty much are proposing, you know, we just really want to have our own email address that with the town, correct?
Yeah, that's my idea.
Okay, great. So send me a draft and
do we need a motion?
I don't think we need a motion. It's a request.
It's a request, yeah.
It's just a request. Does that sound good, Matt?
Yep. So we'll go to draft a letter to Kathy McCavanaugh.
Yes, Kathy McCavanaugh. Right. She is the secretary for the administrative officer, I believe.
Yep.
And Sue Allen is also secretary, so we could copy her on it as well. And you and I could both send it. I think it should come from both of us. I think she's already heard from you, and so has the rec director, Stephanie Crane.
Yes, Stephanie Crane. Yes, she did respond to my email. It got bounced into my spam for some reason. Sue Ellen, I have not heard back from, but I'm thinking that we're pursuing a more logical course at this point in time. So I think this is something a little more actionable. I'm thinking that we would maybe even go a hard copy and have it delivered to Kathy's desk.
I think it's just an email. An email's fine. I think she's I'm going to be communicating with her anyway, Matt.
Oh, you will be. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Regarding, the events for April for the Conservation Commission, Earth Day, Library, stuff like that.
Yep, so I'll be I can draft that up.
Okay, cool. All right. Thanks for that report. So I think that there was sent, I think I sent out a, wasn't there some sort of a document that was sent by Pat Young?
Yes.
What was that title of that? Do you remember what it was about?
It was about summer water quality report from the 2023 summer water quality report.
Can you share that with us, your interpretation of that at the next meeting?
I will gladly share that with you at the next meeting, yes.
That'd be great. Excellent. Thank you. Okay, as far as CACUIC report goes, we had missed a meeting in March because of the short session in the General Assembly. We pretty much put all our efforts into that. And then we met, that was February, and we met last week and discussed our new meeting and legislation. It was a lot of the discussion was surrounded around legislation. We also had three members of DEEP wetlands staff that were there that were helping us understand the changes, the lack of staff, and the transition from one staff person to another. There's a lot of changes taking place, but it was an interesting meeting, CACUIC meeting. And again, the meeting for, I want to correct, I think I had the wrong date, the second Saturday in November. Give it to you in a second. The third Saturday in November is the 16th, and that is our 50th anniversary of CACUIC, and also our annual meeting and conference at the Bristol Event Center. And we hope to be tabling, Conservation Commission hopes to be tabling there, and we hope to all make it. Hopefully we can all attend. So write that down, pencil that in, save that date. All right, next is correspondence. I think that all the correspondence was sent to everybody. I think we discussed most of the correspondence, if not all. There was a really nice calendar that was done by the 8 Mile River Wild and Scenic Watershed. By the way, the Bolton Lakes Watershed is looking for to start collecting funds. We'd like to have an account where we have actually money to spend, like on meetings and have pizza, free pizza. And also join groups, really important groups like the Connecticut Federation of the Lakes. So that's, we're looking forward to that. And then Brenda, you didn't see the t-shirts? This is, did you see the t-shirt? This is the t-shirt that we got. Can you see that?
Nice. Yeah.
Nice. And I thought this would be the theme, a really good theme. See this guy?
Okay. Yeah.
Yes. Yep. So anyway, I think that's pretty much it, unless anybody has any other business before us this evening?
Nope.
Nope.
Okay. We'll adjourn.
Is there a move to adjourn?
I will so move.
Okay, there's been a motion, two motions.
I'll take
All right, so there's a motion by Matt and second by Peter to adjourn. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Brenda, for chiming in, even though you don't feel good.
Okay. All right. Feel better. Thanks, guys. Yep.
All right. Thank you, Brenda. Thank you, Rod. Thank you, Leslie. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you, Leslie.
Good night. Night, John Boy.
Thank you, Leslie.
Yep. Thank you, Leslie, and everyone.
Night.
Night, John Boy.
Right. Night, Brenda and Alan.
Bye.